wait is over. The anticipation is over. I know you've been anticipating the return of the Parish of the Patriots. More anticipation than waiting for that newest episode of Solo Leveling to drop. Maybe not quite that much anticipation, but regardless, we are back for the 310th time. And you know what? We're staying fresh. We're staying fresh. If this was 157, it don't matter. We're still doing it. I realize that the vast majority of you term members of the congregation, appreciate you coming back. If you are new, we have a Christian specific segment, a sermon, if you would, that is designed to, the target audience here is people that are already Christian believers, not non-believers. You're welcome to listen to it one way or the other. You might get something out of it. If you're a non-believer and it means something to you, though, that's cool too. But it is primarily targeted towards people who are already believers. I suggest you give it a chance. You might find it not like what you expect it to be. If you do get something out of the show, don't be shy to pay those tithes. Look on the description page here. We got the snail mail. That's what we got. There's some Bitcoin addresses on this page on the Radio Albion site. Those are Sven's and from when he, before he went away. And someday he will have access to those, I'm assuming. But I do not have access. So we have snail mail. Don't get confused. Be like, oh, he can, it says here he can accept. No, that's old. I didn't take that down out of courtesy towards Sven. So we got snail mail. That's what we got. And still people write me and be like, how do I send you something? Since people drop me an email because I got the email address there on the description page too. People drop an email. How can I support? Well, look right above where the email address. Snail mail. It's your friend. And I realize if you're not in the U.S., that's a little tricky because you got to get your hand on American dollars. It's doable. But it may be a little tricky. Got to put a little effort in. I know. That's one of the great things about the Bitcoin is for international payments. That is one of the niche people say, but it doesn't really have Bitcoin, doesn't have a real role because they can't go down to the coffee shop and buy a cup of coffee with the Bitcoin. Well, yeah, but if you have to send an international payment, Bitcoin is your friend, but we don't do it. It's too much of a hassle. The tax, the government regulations concerning it are very vaguely written. Essentially, they can persecute you, prosecute you any way they want to. They're just making it up as they go, and I don't want to deal with all that. So we're just doing snail mail and rolling with that. So with that having been said, listener supporter mailbag, Mr. T. Thank you, Mr. T. Our weekly, not the Lone Ranger this week. Grandpa Dan, thank you. Here's another one. Grandpa Dan, thank you for your efforts with Radio Albion. I get some really good laughs from your humor. You point out the ludicrous action of our so-called leaders and make it funny. I'm surrounded by MAGA people who almost idolize him. About 20 miles from me, there's a Trump store where one can purchase t-shirts, mugs, bumper stickers, keychains, and whatnots with the orange man's image. I don't have a lot of faith regarding our country. Trump is pushing the anti-Semitism as a criminal speech thing now. With all the Zionists he's appointed, I see are becoming more and more like the Soviet Union. He says he wants free speech. TikTok came back, but type free Palestine in it, and you get removed. Sven's 2 years will be in May. Does he have a release date? Does he have a home? And what's up with Sven? That's from, I'll just say, RNG. Now, there's a lot more here. Y'all know, and I always want to remind y'all of you're welcome to write me these really long days, and that's fine. I do read the whole thing. I do read the whole. Obviously, I cut it down for the show use, but I do read the whole thing and the other things that you all have going on and prayer requests and things such as that. I do follow through and read all of it. I just don't share all of it. And sometimes it's because some of it's kind of personal and some of it can point to you, you know, and whatnot. You know, talking about the Trump store, there's a bus here where I live, and I haven't seen it in a while. I guess they moved on, but there for a long time, there was this big bus, and they were doing that, selling the Trump merch. It was extremely cringe, the Trump merch out there. It is. It's not like they idolize him. Like I say, it become like a false messiah. It's become like an antichrist in the sense that it's a false messiah. You know, he's going to save us. You know, it's really become like a weird, like a cult. But you know, the other side, you have the Trump derangement people who are over there out in La La Land. Then you have the people that have turned him into like a messiah. And then the rest of us here being normal in the middle. Talking about the Trump merch, the cringiest Trump thing I've seen. Have y'all seen people that will drive around sometimes and they'll have this big sticker of Trump's head in their backside window to look like he's riding in the back seat? That's crazy. Sven, Sven's doing great. The parole will be over towards the end of this year, and then he'll be free. So this 2025, God willing, should be our year. He will be off parole. He'll be free and clear. They call it being on license in Britain. He'll be free and clear at the end of the year. And we're looking forward to that. I don't know what he's going to do after that. My hope is at the very least, he's going to be able to at least sit and post, you know, take care of the technical aspects. I don't know if he'll return to podcast. I've not had that discussion with him. I don't bring it up. You know, I'm allowed to, I communicate with him. It's allowed. And I purposely don't talk about Radio Albion much, you know, because I don't want to be involved, you know, to get him in any kind of trouble. He's still in the halfway house. And it is as ridiculous and appalling as the British system is, you know, as far as like, should he be put in jail to begin with? Setting that aside, they did at least like here in the U.S., for instance, you go to prison here in the U.S., when you get out, they'll hand you like a bus ticket and $20, and they like, good luck. You know, good luck. They just kick you out on the street, basically. And in Britain, they don't do that. They do have to make sure you have somewhere to go live. Also, because of Sven's situation, they have to be able to monitor him. They can't just kick him out wherever because they'd lose track of him. And they told one government agency said, you're considered an extreme risk to public safety. Sven, the extreme risk. Yeah, I can see that. It's extreme risk here. Anyway, no, they can't just kick him out. They got to find him a place to live. And ideally, it's supposed to be where he was in the area he was living before. In other words, they're supposed to give you your life back. So I will give him that. He's just currently, and he's happy in the halfway house. You know, they're kind of like, you know, the halfway house people are like, you know, it's time for this guy to leave. You know, I mean, he's not a problem. But you know, we got real criminals that need a place to come out of prison to go. And we got this guy here. But these other government agencies are fumbling around. They don't know what to do with him. At the end of the year, towards the end of this year, he'll be off of parole, everything. He'll just be 100% free man. So things are looking up. We're going to keep soldiering on here. Like I say, my hope is he can at least go back to posting stuff so I don't have to. Like, if he weren't going to do Radio Alvin at all, I mean, I'm going to be like, well, you're going to have to find somebody else. Because, I mean, I don't mind doing this house-sitting thing, but ain't looking to move in. Anyway, continuing. Talking about the Trump stuff here. There has been some entertaining stuff. And this is one of those reasons, as y'all know, I quit doing the Friday Daily. I made the decision to quit doing the Friday Daily National. This is one of those key things, is it just sucks up things. There's only so many things I can talk about. And it was sucking things. It was sucking things up. No, we got this whole thing with the Elon Musk agency or whatever the hell they are. And the USAID. You know, that USAID outfit. And of course, you know, low bowl. I guess we're supposed to be shocked that there was this massive corruption. And I read this morning, because I'm recording this on Saturday. I read this morning, they're talking about targeting, you know, trying to audit the Pentagon. That's good. And Trump was like, I don't expect it to be anywhere near as bad as USA. And it's like, if there's anything remotely like an audit, you in for a big disappointment. USAID, I keep wanting to say USA, USAID, that's like toddler stuff, the Pentagon, you're going to find like, you know, advanced PhD level corruption. I don't think it'll be as bad. Boy, I mean, they've tried to audit the Pentagon and it never works because they just don't keep up with the books. One of the things I like to point out to people, you know, I say, I will tell people, I say, look, when you read these stories, when you hear these stories, oh, the Pentagon spent bought all these toilet seats at $500 a piece. That's just crazy. They spent $500 a piece. And people are always shocked when I tell them they don't. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? They didn't spend $500 a piece on a toilet seat. It's just the money is gone and it has to be assigned somewhere in the bookkeeping. So they put down $500 a piece toilet seats and it's been $500 a piece. That's just corruption. It's the money laundering. It was sitting around thinking they're spending $500 on toilet seats. No, they're not. But it, like, if you're passing money out to Congress people and whoever else and yourselves, you've got to have an accounting somewhere of where that went. I remember reading a story here a while back. Somebody had gone in and they'd hired an accounting outfit to try to audit the Pentagon. And it was impossible. And they're like, they don't even keep receipts. So when they say they spent $500 on toilet seats, they ain't got no receipts for that because they didn't do it. Now, the USAID thing, I find this interesting. I found this interesting. I don't find any of it surprising. I have found it interesting. One of the things is, you know, all these media outfits have been getting all this money. And they tried to dance around. Like they said, Politico, the media outfit, they got like $8 million. And they tried to say, oh, no, we didn't get any government money. They just bought subscriptions, $8 million worth of subscriptions. It was like when RFK Jr. was at that hearing and pointed out that Bernie Sanders has taken more money from the pharmaceutical industry than anybody else. And it sent Bernie into like this meltdown. Oi to the vey, I received that money from the workers. Yes, all of the workers that happened to work for the pharmaceutical companies all loved you so much. They got together and as a monolithic group, each individual donated the maximum to you because they believe in your program so much. It's the workers gave it to me. Over $1 million from the pharmaceutical company. That was from the workers because they love my platform. There were subscriptions. They were all so interested. These government agencies wanted to keep up on what's going on because they somehow don't know. And so they all bought subscriptions to Politico. I've seen these stories through the year, y'all have too, where they talk about how these news media outfits, you know, lose money. And they're like, but they keep the corporations keep them open because they serve a vital role of protecting the democracy values of who we are. And it turns out, no, because they're getting all this government money. That's how they stay in. That's how they've been staying open, because ain't nobody read, listen to, watch that bullshit. And no, they're getting government money. They go there on this money's going to all these different groups, and then the groups get real shady. You start looking into the groups and it gets real fuzzy about who's actually getting the money. Now, one of the things I think this points to too is the fakeness, of course, of everything. You know, oh, this outfit, you know, they got all of this, you know, they're successful. They are viral. And I think what this insinuates with this USAID thing is, no, they're all getting corruption money. They're getting government money. You know, we all know that all the shit's manufactured, and this just highlights a single element of the process of the fakeness and the gayness and the manufactured element of all of it. You know, you're like me and you're like, you turn on the TV and they're talking about coming up. We're going to talk about this latest hot singer. You know, I seen a deal the other day because they's getting warmed up for the Grammy Awards. And they're like, we're going to have a sit down with this guy. I have no idea. I've never heard of this guy before. And maybe some of that's just because I'm old. You know, we're going to talk to this guy who's got tattoos all over his face because he is the latest hot singer that everybody's talking about. And you're like, why this guy? You know, what made this guy the latest hot thing? It's all fake. It's all manufactured. They're all sitting there pushing money around, and they push certain people to the front and say, that's your latest entity. That's your latest. That's the guy. And then they'll roll that back and roll someone else out. And it extends to all of this, you know. It's so obvious. It's been obvious to me for a while, but it's not been, I guess, for certain other people. I don't have to find the paper trail because I've known it all along, you know. Like, for instance, I'll pull up YouTube. And like, if I happen to watch a political content, you know, as an example, this has been some time ago. I'm just scrolling through and they pop up a recommendation, you know, and it was, I don't remember even what the topic was, but it was the two black brother guys that do conservative commentary. And I clicked on the video and watched it, you know, and it was moderately humorous. It wasn't anything particularly breathtaking or nothing earth shattering was revealed here, but it was entertaining enough, you know. For like 6 weeks to 2 months after that, when I had opened up my YouTube feed, I was being spammed with these guys. You know, it was so obvious that YouTube was pushing these guys. You know, that's manufactured. You know, and why do these guys have like five different channels with millions of followers? It must be because they're so popular and they're so good. Well, don't get me wrong. I'm sure they have a certain amount of popularity. But where did they get there? It's manufactured. And this USAID thing has really highlighted the fakeness. These people are all manufactured. They're pushed to the front. They get pushed to the top of your recommendation. Are there other people on YouTube doing commentary that's probably better? Probably so. But see, you're never going to hear about them. They decide who's going to get the money, who's going to get pushed, who's going to be promoted. And that's what you get. It's all fake. I was reading and this theater goes on. And the USAID thing, you know, they've only government workers. This amazes me. So they tell these government workers, because it turns out, I saw a deal, they said that only like 6% of these government workers ever show up to work. They all work from home. 6%. 6% actually show up. So they basically told them, you either got to come to the office every day or you can basically volunteer to quit. Quit or be fired, basically. Now, if they choose to quit, they're going to get paid all the way through the end of September. Can you imagine this at your job? Your boss comes in. They said, we got layoffs coming. You know, we went all in on electric vehicles and ain't no one buying that shit. So we got to lay all you workers on the assembly line off. But don't worry. You're going to get paid all the way to the end of September to stay at home. Only government workers get a gig like this. But that is too much. I saw this morning where a judge has now, and we know this theater, these judges, this judge has come in and put an injunction and said, no, you can't just let them stay home with pay. That's too cruel. What? His judge says, you got to give them, and here's where the kicker was. Because part of this, though, is, yeah, they get to stay home and get paid to the end of September, but they locked them out of their emails. They can't get in the system anymore. Judge says, you got to give them access to the company email and the company system. Yeah, so they're all in a panic because they're all wanting to hide the evidence. You think about it. If you're at your job and they're like, we're going to lay you off. Nobody buys electric vehicles, so we're laying you off the assembly line. But we're going to pay you. You can stay home. We're going to pay you the end of September. But you're not going to be able to use the company email system. You would be upset. Why would you care? The only reason they care is they need to get in there so they can cover up the evidence. They ain't worried about the being furloughed thing with pay. They ain't worried about that. Why are they worried about getting into the company email? Because they're worried about at some point somebody could find something that could lead to criminal charges. And you got a judge facilitating. You need to let these people go in and hide the evidence. The judges, the judicial system, always plays this key role. They're the check so that the people, when they want to give them this idea that something's going their way, then the judicial system kicks in and says, no, you don't. And then everybody says, well, we got to go along. But that's fake, too. That's fake, too. Because, I mean, it's not like that for us. You know, if, like, for you or me, if a judge makes a decree and you say, yeah, that's stupid, I'm not doing that. Well, you will eventually do it because on a long enough timeline, they will send men with guns and you will do what you're told. You will lay on the ground. You'll put your hands behind your back. You'll get in the back seat of the car, or they will kill you. That is always at the end of that. You know, the judge makes a decree, you know, like you look at like the ridiculous lawsuit against with Alex Jones, another manufactured entity, by the way. But we're not going to get off into that. But you look at that, if you were just to say, well, I'm not, you know, he says I got to hand over all this stuff. I'm not going to hand over all this stuff. On a long enough timeline, you will, because they will send somebody with, they will send men with guns. And you will ultimately do what you're told or they will kill you. There's always this threat of they will unalive you at the end of that. I mean, sure, they'll take it in steps, but at some point in time, you're going to do what the judge says or you're going to get dead. That's it. You see people and they'll be like, yeah, I'm just going to quit paying taxes. It's, you know, on a long enough timeline. They're going to wait till that number builds up enough to where they can build a case on you. And then they're going to send men with guns. And if you don't do what you're told to, they'll unalive you. Now, because people have been conditioned to this idea of equality, you know, like the justice system treats everyone the same, they tend to apply that personal standard to everybody because you were raised up being told, oh yeah, we have a system of equal justice in America. It ain't like them backwards countries. We have equal rights under the law in America. And people apply that. You know, people apply that. And they think because on a long enough timeline for them, they'll send men with guns. That doesn't apply here. In other words, okay, the Trump people have said, we're not letting these people in. We've locked them out. We're shutting down this government agency. And this judge says, no, you got to let them in. You got to let them go hide the evidence. Because that's what they're talking about. That's, why else would those people need to get into their emails? They're trying to delete all the evidence that could lead to criminal charges. That's what they're worried about. These people want back into the system because they need to delete the evidence. Because if somebody comes across some of this stuff, you could go to prison. And they don't want to go to prison. They've been having a fun time with all this money. Playing these games, and now they're all scared to death, and the politicians, they in on it too. But you see, if the Trump people just tell the judge to go F himself, he can't do anything. You know, that's why it's not the same as for you and me. The judges have no way. You know, they go on, oh my gosh, well, they were going to do this great thing for America to make America great again. But alas, the Supreme Court has said, oh no, we found this violation of the Constitution. They never seem to find any violations of the Constitution, you know, the ones that are in your face every day. But they make up, you know, like when they made up and decided that corporations are actually what the founding fathers were thinking about. You have to apply the Bill of Rights to corporations because that's a person or whatever. At the end of the day, if the government, if the president, whatever, told the Supreme Court, well, good luck enforcing that. I mean, because they got their own men with guns. The Supreme Court ain't got nobody to go and threaten. You ain't going to go threaten. I mean, seriously. The Trump people could tell this judge, they tell the judicial system all the way up to the Supreme Court, bring your whole crew and get wet. They ain't, because they ain't got no crew. The judges ain't got nobody. Who are they going to send? The police? They're going to send the police against the federal police? No. See, it's all fake. Now the judiciary comes in and says, you got to let these people go in and hide the evidence, destroy the evidence so they can't go to prison. And nobody's going to tell them just get stuffed. To go try enforcing that. Bring your whole crew. Get wet. They ain't got no crew to send. That'd just be the end of it. I was laughing whenever, you know, they were doing the whole bogus charges against Trump and talking about, yeah, he could go to Rikers. He's going to go to prison in New York. He's got Secret Service. At the end of the day, he could sit at Mar-a-Lago and say, bring your whole crew and get wet. New York going to send. Who's New York going to send to Florida? They ain't even got no jurisdiction. Who they going to send? Federal marshals? Federal marshals are going to come down getting an armed standoff with the Secret Service? How that going to work? That's all theater. It's fake. Very gay. Like everything else in this country. That USA thing, though, that's just one of many ways. And as I find it hilarious that Trump was like, we're going to do the Pentagon next. We don't expect to be anywhere nearly as bad as USAID. Are you kidding me? You don't think the Department of Defense budgetary stuff is going to be as bad as this USAID thing? Like, you talking about going from kindergarten corruption to the PhD level corruption, but you don't think it's going to be as okay. Yeah. The USAID thing, I mean, they funnel money. This is just everything is manufactured. And a lot of this stuff, of course, people focus on the overseas. You know, they fund this part of how they fund these NGOs. Because it turns out George Soros ain't even been using a bunch of his own money. All that we always hear about George Soros and the NGOs and George Soros. As if George Soros would be spending his own money when he can get your money and do all of his dirty deeds himself, you know, with your money. But he's a billionaire. He could do it. Well, yeah. But he'd rather hold on to that money and use yours. Funding all these NGOs. We all do it already, but it's funny to see it out in the open. You know, I tell you, talking about these NGOs funding. I don't know about y'all, but I've kind of gotten like unsympathetic to some of these countries that get targeted. You know, I mean, I've been sympathetic in the past, but my sympathy is about run out. Because like I was reading an article that, in fact, Dr. Johnson had a great show recently about, you know, Serbia and the things going on in Serbia. And it's the usual thing. You got these NGOs, these foreign NGOs stirring this stuff up. But I'm at this point, it's like, look, if you're in one of these countries and you're not going to ban the NGOs and you're not going to ban the Western social media, and I'm just a regular guy, and I understand how these color revolutions are run, manufactured, and funded. So there's no way you're running your country in Eastern Europe, and you don't know this. But you're still going to let these NGOs run around wild. You're still going to let Western social media all in your country. And then you're going to sit there and whine and be shocked when there's a color revolution going on. You know, I'm sorry, but you're a dumbass. Of course they're going to do that. And these countries, they're trying to have it both ways. I got no sympathy for them. You know, I mean, on the one hand, I want to be sympathetic. But when you got a country like that, and it's like, oh, no, we totally want to join the EU. But we don't want to do all the gay stuff and importing the entirety of the Middle East and Africa. We don't want to do that stuff. Like you could pick and choose. And we're going to at the same time, we're going to let all these NGOs run buck wild in our country and Western social media everywhere. What could go wrong? You know, just pick a side. I've said this is a global conflict because everybody's having to pick a side. You know, you pick the Russia-China side or you pick the global homo side, but you got to pick a side. Every country in the world is having to pick a side. And you always have those few dumbasses that act like they can have it both ways. They think they're so slick, they're going to avoid the conflict. And they're always the ones that get the most conflict. You know, they think they can avoid the conflict by trying to play both sides, one against the other. Now, Turkey kind of manages to do that, but the Turks just have, they just have this unique ability to kind of play one side against the other. But that's because they're in a strong position. You know, when you understand, I don't want to get off on that, but when you understand that NATO needs Turkey a hell of a lot worse than Turkey needs NATO, that's why they can kind of get away with that. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about these other countries like Serbia. And they try and talk about, we want to be a part of the EU and a part of the Western order, but we don't want to do gay and infinity migration. That's the deal. I mean, and it's funny how nobody asks. Why is accepting the entirety of the population of the Middle East and Africa a part of joining the EU? Why do you got to take all these people in? They trying to have it both ways, trying to talk about, oh, we want to do the EU thing, but at the same time, we don't want to do gay and infinity migrants. We got to let all these foreign NGOs run buck wild in our country and Western social media everywhere. But we don't want a color revolution. They're trying to play both sides. They're trying to have it both ways. They want to tell their population at home, we're not doing the infinity gay and infinity migrants. But on the other hand, they want to turn around and tell the EU, yeah, we're totally on board with the program. And they wind up getting squeezed. It is going to be interesting to see how many of these media outfits suddenly in the next few months, you know, because if they really keep the USAID shut down, and that's a big if they actually do that, my prediction is within the next 3 to 6 months, you're going to start seeing this news of all these different media organizations, these different press people, these different media outfits filing for bankruptcy and going under. You know, I believe you're going to see that. We've already seen how many, some just the scratching the surface of how many of them are getting this government money. If they truly keep that spigot cut off, you're going to see all these shit lib media outfits that nobody actually cared about anyway. You're going to see them getting shut down, which will be hilarious. I saw where one of the deals, the BBC was getting money. They're not even an American media outfit. They're a British government media outlet, and the U.S. is funding part of the British government. I don't know. It'd be interesting. I hope they do keep the spigot cut off. I'd like to see some of these people go away. I'd like to see. You just watch and see if they do manage to hold the line. And now, like I say, there's a big if, because you already got these judges trying to step in and say you got to let them steal money. You got to let them launder money. It's the values of who we are in a democracy. A judge says so. But if they do manage to keep the spigot cut off, you just watch. You're going to start hearing about, oh, this media outfit's going bankrupt. Same media outfit's telling you, oh, no, we totally didn't. We totally ain't getting government money. All of a sudden, it was like, well, we had to file for bankruptcy. Try to get some other media outlet to take them over. It'll be interesting to see. Well, speaking of interesting, we got to keep the interesting going. Got to head into it's that time. Time to head into the Christian specific segment. Y'all know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon at the Parish of the Patriots. Now, we talked last week about the importance of setting aside time for the Lord, you know, in your prayer and seeking God out. But this begs the question, what do you talk about? You know, I imagine some of the questions y'all might would have. And, you know, well, what do I talk about? You know, and that can be a difficult part of that task. You're seeking the Lord and you're in prayer. But what do you talk about? What do you have to say? And how do you reflect? One of the things I think is key in remembering, I spend a lot of my time in seeking the Lord simply in reflecting the world around us. You see, I think one of the keys here is to remember that the truth itself is intrinsic to the Lord, is a part of the Lord. There's a connection to God in the truth. The subject matter of the truth is irrelevant. So the topic can be, in other words, the topic can be whatever, but the truth itself is related to God. Now, we all know in this crazy lunatic clown world we live in, we are constantly inundated with lies. A lot of times, as I reflect on the world around us, as I try to set my heart on the Lord, one of the things I'll do is to look at these lies. I'll sit and look at these lies and reflect on them and essentially reject them in my heart and seek out the truth of God. This is a way in which you can set your heart on the Lord and your time with the Lord is to look at the lie, because they flood you with it so much that after a while, it's like you just don't even notice. You know, set it aside, acknowledge it as a lie, and just basically shake your head at it as you set your heart on the truth. Because again, the subject matter is largely irrelevant. The truth in and of itself is going to have a connection to God. I also think it's a good idea to get in this habit of looking at things and being able to shuffle them if they're truth or if they're a lie. It's interesting because, you know, People try to tempt you. They will. They'll try to tempt you. You'll have somebody and they'll hit you up with, you know, oh well, you know, what do you think about this, that, or the other? You know, and they're fishing for you. You know, they'll put you, in other words, they'll put you in a situation where the polite response is to go along with a lie. And you can tell after a while, when you've been doing this, shuffling the truth from lies, sorting through things as you come across them, sorting through other people's behavior, you'll come to recognize it's like an IRL bait thread. You know, they're baiting you. They'll hit you with something to see what you're going to say. And it's obviously the expectation is that in polite company, you're going to respond with the approved lie. It's a test. It's a test to see if you're going to go along with it or not. Now, you know, there's sometimes, you know, there's all sorts of forms of this. You know, I don't get hung up. I guess what I want to say is be careful not to get hung up in the woods here. You know, when the family gets together and Aunt Betty, who weighs 350 pounds, is like, oh, I bought this new dress. It doesn't make me look fat. And the truth would be to say, you know, it wouldn't matter what you wore, but you're going to look fat because you're 350 pounds. That would be the truth. The polite thing to say would be like, you know, oh, no, it looks great on. And the women always go for that polite thing. You know, all the women were just in the kitchen laughing about, man, did you see that? Omar, the tent maker, had to work on overtime, put that dress together for Aunt Betty because, man. And then women would be turning around and be like, oh, no, you look good. You should even cut your hair shorter. It would make it really, it would really accentuate your curves. And were you sitting there going, well, this is one of those times, you know, the truth is, I'm going to say, bitch, you fat. You need to, you we didn't matter what you wear. What are you talking about? If you in the room, you looking fat. You looking fat. If you were just floating around by yourself, out in space, you would still look fat. Like next to Jupiter, you would look fat. Sometimes, you see, sometimes silence is the best response. It's not an earth-shattering thing whether or not you point out that this bitch fat. Everybody knows she fat. Don't get lost in the woods on stuff like that. Those are trivial things, but people hit you up. People will. They'll hit you up with things. Well, what do you think about such and such? Well, I saw on the news such and such happened. And they're looking at you. They're looking for you to give that polite response, which is the lie. The approved response. Because we're so inundated with this constant barrage of media, everybody is conditioned to know what the proper response is supposed to be, the anticipated. And they bait you into just giving the polite response. The lie. Go along with the lie. You get to where you see it. You understand what's happening. They're baiting you to see if you'll go along with the lie. You get in the habit of shuffling this out. And you stop a minute and say, hey, they're, you know, the automatic response here is to say the polite thing. Because we're social creatures. We don't want to stand out. We want to be polite. And everybody say, oh, yeah, they were very polite and gave the approved response. Such times, that's when you stay silent for just a minute. Measure your response. Let them be offended. You know, the truth is intrinsic to the Lord. It doesn't matter what the topic is. They ain't going to ask you something about Jesus most of the time. They ain't. And that's where people get tripped up. They think, well, if the topic isn't about Jesus, then you don't, you know. But it is. When you're given a clear choice to basically go along with and submit to the lie and be polite, or to speak the truth. Trust me, Jesus is the topic here. You know, just being tempted for the lulz. There's a temptation happening here. Whether or not to go along and whether or not you're going to speak the truth. Again, the truth, regardless of the subject matter, is related to Jesus. It's in a form when you choose to speak the truth. It is a form of testimony of Jesus Christ. That makes sense. It's a form. It doesn't matter what the topic is. It doesn't matter what the topic is when you make the conscious choice to speak the truth. Now, it's fine if you want to, you know, there's nothing wrong with phrasing things in a matter to be polite. You know, I'm not talking about just going around being like a rude asshole or something. But every time you choose to speak the truth over the lie that you're supposed to be speaking, and again, you'll know what answer they're looking for. That in and of itself, I believe, is a form of testimony of Jesus. So yeah, when I reflect on the Lord, I'm looking towards the Lord and trying to set my heart on God. One of the ways you can do that is to look at these lies you're inundated with and reject them. Man, they're saying this, and we all know that's not true. We all know that's a lie. When you start setting your heart on the truth, you're going to be setting your heart on the Lord. And again, the subject matter is largely irrelevant. The more you look to the truth, the more you realize how far down the river people are in sin and rebellion and lies. Now, I mean, it's easy. Everybody likes to point at like these outrageous, you know, over the top sinful people and point at that. Everybody, that's an easy target. But what I find interesting is how many people in general, you will find the more you set your heart on the truth and you know, that's where you're looking, the more you realize how wedded to the lie, not just those outrageous people that maybe you see on a TikTok video or some clip from YouTube. It's not just them. It's most people. Even people that on the surface, you know, they look like they're trying to do right and they seem like, you know, nice people. You know, they're friends, family, people you care about. But if you get in this habit of looking and you realize how wedded to lies, we've been subjected our whole lives, our entire lives, with the education system and media. We've been brainwashed, essentially. I was talking about this recently, how you can go along and watch, you know, the brainwashing kick in. You know, somebody will sit there and be having a perfectly logical conversation with you, and then you hit one of the tripwires for the brainwashing, and you can see them, one of the tripwires for the brainwashing, and they'll go off into la-la land and start regurgitating, you know, just absolutely ridiculous lies to you. And you're thinking, wait a minute, we were just having this conversation and you were agreeing. You know, we were talking about how silly certain things are. But then I hit this tripwire and you just reverted right like to a third grade level, regurgitating back what you were told. You know, a good example of this, you might be having a conversation with, you know, a father and, you know, a good upstanding person and you know, maybe somebody you admire, maybe a friend or a relative. And this person is a father and is a father and he's got kids or of various ages, say, and maybe they're getting a little older or whatever. And you'd be talking to this guy and you'd be like, well, you know, what is it you hope for your teenage daughter? You know, are you hoping that she'll get married early and start having kids? You know, and it doesn't matter how reasonable and logical the conversation will be up to that point. You know, he might be talking about, you know, how these kids are running around having all this casual sex and that's just awful and everything. And when you get up and say, well, do you think it would be reasonable for your daughter to be married young and start having, you know, children, be settled down, start having children? That programming will kick in and they'll no. She's got to go to college and get a career. And you're sitting there, you know, mind boggled, because we all know what young women going to college means. I mean, we know what they're doing there. I saw talking about TikTok videos. I saw a video last night where they go around and ask these college girls, you know, what's the craziest thing you've seen? What's the craziest thing you've done? They asked this one. She said, what's the craziest thing you've seen since you came to college? And she said, well, my freshman year, I walked in on my roommate having an orgy. And, you know, daddy's little girl, she had to go to college and get a career. She get a career and getting run through. You see, that programming kicks in because they buy into the lie. They buy it a lot. People, on the one hand, will sit there and say they disagree with sin. You know, they reject sin. But what I find is if you poke around and prod long enough, you'll figure out that they don't really. What they're in, That's what I mean. You can look at over-the-top sinful people, and everybody likes to look at them and go, oh my gosh, look at that, you know? Go down to the gay pride parade and say, look at the degeneracy. That's easy. That's low-hanging fruit. Ain't nobody want to look at themselves. Ain't nobody want to look at the more subtle rebellion. And it's just as much rebellion against God and against his laws. We're going to get to that. I'm going to make it make sense here where I'm trying to go with this. At the end of the day, what you'll find is that people don't necessarily reject sin, even though they may think they do or say they do. What they're actually doing is they're in rebellion against God's laws, because what they really don't like is the consequences of sin. You know, people get this misconstrued. They get it all twisted. They act as though God's laws is like he's just being arbitrary. He doesn't want you to do this and you shouldn't do it because he says so. And that's not the case at all. When you understand that the creation we live in is a system, is God's laws. I tend to think of God's laws as the natural order or the parameters of the system that we live in time, in this world. And if you violate the parameters, certain things happen. This isn't God sitting around arbitrarily punishing you. He doesn't sit around micromanaging your life. When God says, well, if you do these certain things, if you sin, there will be negative outcomes because that's the way the system is designed. That's how the system keeps itself in balance. When you look over time, look back over time, and you had societies and they become decadent and they become degenerate and then they collapse on themselves. And God's sitting around necessarily judging that society and bringing it down by his own hand. This is the system is keeping itself in balance and it all collapses and then people get their act sort of together and it starts re-going in this cycle. That's the system at work. God's laws. God says, well, if you do certain things, if you behave in this certain manner, if you reject truth and go chasing after lies, go whoring after false gods, there are going to be negative outcomes from that. And that's what people have a problem with. They have a problem with the negative outcomes. But they don't really. They may say they do, but they don't really reject the sin. Have a conversation with a normie conservative about the evils of feminism, and they'll nod their heads right along with you, and then get to the answers. We need to get rid of women voting. We need to make sure they start covering up in public, and you don't just let them go out on a girls' night out to the bar and doing whatever the hell they want to. We got to get all that. We got to say, oh my gosh, what are you a Muslim? You know, when you start pointing out what that really means, they're oh no, we can't not let women vote. What do you mean? Women should like cover up and dress modestly in public. Well, what do you mean? That's crazy talk. You see, what they don't like is when they look around and see all this negative, the negative outcomes of the sin. They're not really rejecting the sin is what I'm saying. They're rejecting the negative outcomes. And this is what really highlights being in conflict with God's laws, because God's laws say the parameters of this system is if you do these sorts of things and get outside of the realm of the system, you're going to have negative consequences. And it's those negative consequences that they have a problem with. And really, they want to find a way to operate outside of the confines of the system without the negative consequences. And it's impossible. You can't do it. It might seem like you can for a short term, but ultimately, the system will balance itself. You are going to have those negative outcomes. Going back to my illustration of earlier of a father sending, you know, he insisted on the one hand, he'll sit there and say, oh, no, I want my daughter, you know, I want her to live a traditional life and to save herself for marriage, blah, blah, blah. But then on the other hand, he says, I'm going to send her off to college and she's going to have a career. And then maybe when she's 35, you know, your little girl, daddy, little girl ain't going to wait till 35 before she starts having sex. I mean, she's just not. That's not realistic. It's just a contradiction. That programming kicks in and it's like, oh, no, this is the correct response. And that person will turn around and tell you they reject feminism. And then yet they turn around and basically regurgitate. They want their daughter to do all of the feminism things, but they don't want the negative outcomes. You know, They don't want her to bring home her mixed race baby and leave it with them to raise. They don't want that. But they're not going to reject the system itself, the lies itself. People just incorporate. I said this on a recent show, and I really believe it. Our minds, you know, we're not built for a society that has mass media, movies, and is this constant, entertainment, all of it. You know, because our brains look at it and to a certain extent, I think our brains process it like it's real because it's seeing it. You know, under a normal world, if you didn't have those things, if you see something and experience something, it's real. You saw it. You it's real. Well, your brain sees these things on a screen, for instance, and hears these things, and it processes it like it's real. And you're sitting here trying to go, no, I know that's not real. That's not reality. But your brain is still on some level or another processing that way, and it causes these conflicts. And it's one of the reasons why this brainwashing, as it were, works so well, because people's brains are struggling with, we're just not designed for mass media. But now, what you find is, if you look hard enough, you'll discover that most people, they reject what they're in rebellion against is the negative consequences of sin. They want to find a way to keep, because the society promotes sin as virtuous. You know, they promote decadence and degeneracy as morality. And people have incorporated that. Even well-meaning people, even people that maybe, you know, they do a decent job of living their lives in the way they should. And so often, if you look long enough, you'll find that they have incorporated that lie, though. And they're just not, they're not going to reject it. Not really. What they're rejecting is the negative outcomes. And that's, again, that's why you're in conflict. That's why these people are in conflict with God's laws. Because God's laws say, well, the way the parameters of the system work, you know, if you get outside of these norms, there's this negative feedback. There's this negative consequences are going to happen. Your society's going to collapse. You know, staying on the topic of feminism, I mean, you just look at things with logic and reason, and you say, well, we've done this experiment for generations now of women's liberation, and what have they done with it? Well, essentially, find a way to murder their children and act like whores. I mean, that's the logical looking at it indifferently. What has women's liberation brought us? And again, what have they done with it? They've found ways to murder their babies and act like whores. That's what they have done with feminism. That's what they've done with this so-called liberation. I can assure you, the most conservative person you may talk to, if you point this out, you're going to get some looks. You're going to get some looks. What do you mean? Of course, we got to let women walk around and look like whores. You'll see this. Excuse me. You'll see this in various, even very, you know, right wing or conservative or nationalist political circles. You know, and one of the problems you see people, and they're like, one of the problems I got with the Muslims is essentially our women can't even go around dressed like whores anymore because these Muslims will assault them. Yeah. What? Maybe that is part of the system correcting things. You know, never occurs to them. You know, in other words, if the people can't get their act together and get back within the parameters of society, then some other people wind up coming into your society, and it's forcing against your will for things to get back to the natural parameters. Oh my gosh, we got to get rid of these Muslims. Our women can't even walk around dressed like whores out in public anymore. My gosh. Did you read that story? This woman went out dressed like a whore, got shit-faced, passed out, and woke up to being raped. See, the system itself is uncaring. I'm not talking about God. I'm talking about the system is uncaring. the further out there you get violating God's laws and being outside of the parameters of what he has established, the more harsh the system will be. Because the system doesn't care. System doesn't care if millions die. The system is just going to simply do what it does, which is correct things, get people's behavior back in line with where they're supposed to be. That's the way. It's just automatic. Again, this ain't God doing it to you. It's just the system is self-running. And the further outside of the norms, the further outside of the parameters of the system the people get, the more harsh the response will be to get you back in line. You know, I mean, again, and people complain about that negativeness, the harsh response in getting you back in line. The problem is everybody's out here not doing what they're supposed to be doing. You got to get back in line with what God has established. They don't want to do that. They want to, on the one hand, hold on to the world's lies and hold on to this, but then they want to fight against the correction. Does that make sense? They want to fight against that negative consequence. They want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to have their sin and no consequence. And that's the story of man all throughout history. They want to do the sin. They want to hold on to the lies. They want to hold on to all this. They don't want the negative outcomes of it. But the system is self-correcting. And if you're not going to correct it, somebody else will come in and they will correct it. And you're going to wind up corrected. The system doesn't care. The system isn't worried about being fair. The system isn't worried about your feelings. The system isn't worried about if millions die. The system has no conscious thought. It's just things going to stay within these parameters. And if you get outside of them, the correction is coming. If it's severe, it's severe. The further out there and the longer you're out there, the more severe that correction is going to be. And then everybody pisses and moans and belly aches and blames God and everything else. We're warned as Christian believers, this puts us in conflict with the world. Now, we always tend to put this in the context of the oppression and the persecution the early church went through that we read about in the Bible or that various saints throughout history went through. And we imagine something like that. You know, you do. People will imagine, you know, the government's threatening if you don't shut up about Jesus Christ, then these horrible things are going to happen to you. But then that don't happen. And because it don't happen, people will trick themselves and say we live under a system that's something other than satanic. But which, of course, that's not the case. Is we're under a very satanic system because the whole thing is based on lies. Now, the truth of the matter, again, we know as believers we're warned that we're going to spend a lot of time in conflict with the world. And the reality is for most of us, that conflict is going to be with the people around us. When you're not going along with the lies, when you're going to hold to the truth, you're going to upset people. You're going to have to say things. You're going to wind up saying things that people are going to say, man, that guy's an asshole. Can you believe he said that? It doesn't matter that it's true. All they care about is that you're being rude. You know, that's not the socially acceptable, the politically correct. That's not what you're supposed to say. Everybody knows what the approved answer is. You're going to be in conflict with the world. You're going to be in conflict with people around you. Even friends, even family, you're going to be in conflict. They don't want to hear the truth. Why you always got to say the truth? Everybody know, yeah, it may be the truth, but why you gotta say it? Because it matters. I mean, it doesn't matter. People say they don't matter. I don't. You know, you speak a truth. You go to your church on Sunday, and then afterwards, everybody having a discussion, or maybe you know that you go to a church group meeting, and then some topic comes up, and you go spitting truth facts out there, and somebody, the preacher or whoever, going to pull you aside and go, why you have to say that? I mean, yeah, and you're like, but because it's the truth. Well, yeah, it's the truth, but I mean, you don't have to say it. This is where you're going to find yourself in conflict with the world 99.99% of the time. It's not, you know, Pontius Pilate sitting there, you know, in the judgment seat over you. It's the people around you sitting in their own self-made little judgment seats. It's around looking at you. find out you're not going to get invited to the, you're getting invited back to the church meeting. In fact, they ask you not to come back to the church at all. He's rude. He says things that make people uncomfortable. We got to be polite. The women don't like it when you come in here talking like that. You just don't come back. Go find another church home somewhere or something. This is going to be the conflict with the world that you're mostly going to experience in your life. Don't worry. Don't go out looking for it. It'll find you. Trust me. You don't have to worry about that. Just hold to the truth. You're going to find your conflict with the world. You're going to find your conflict with the world. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you got something out of the Christian-specific segment, especially. Hope you got something out of the whole show. I appreciate all of you stopping by week in and week out. And hopefully, you'll choose to stop by again next week for the Parish of the Patriots.